Amos 3 and 3. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? You can also write cause. Cause. These words as our teacher's lesson, we'll see these words. Cause. The reason or motive for some human action. Cause. The reason or motive for some human action. Alliance. Alliance. Loyalty or subordinate to a superior of an individual to a group or cause. All right, one more definition I'm going to give you. Loyalty. Trustworthy. Dependable. Loyalty. Trustworthy. Dependable. All right? Covenant deals with alliance. Loyalty to a person or cause. All right, let me make that statement again. Covenant deals with alliance, and I say alliance is loyalty or subordinate to a superior or of individual to a group or cause. All right, covenant deals with alliance. Loyalty to a person or cause. Think about being loyal to a person or a cause. Think about a person. What person that we really could use as being loyal to when it comes to this ministry? We know as far as God, we know about Jesus, but also too, God put us upon a man of God, and our goal is to be what? Loyal to him, okay? Because whether we realize it or not, when we come to working on our job, we are very loyal, all right? So we could be loyal to when it comes to someone on our job who we're working for. Well, why can't we not be loyal? Now, I'm not talking about nobody here not loyalty when it comes to loyalty. But I'm saying is, when it comes to being loyal to someone in the natural, when it comes to be loyal to someone on our job, because I'm going to be using that word job a whole lot. I'm going to be using a whole lot, okay? But when it comes to being loyal to that individual group where we work at, we have a tendency to give a lot of effort. We be there no matter what. We even say, somebody might actually say, well, how long you been working on your job? Well, I've been working there for 25 years. Nothing wrong with working there for 25 years. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to ministry, is you bold enough to say that you've been, I can't say 25 years because you might have even been there 5 years. I know some of you all might have been there for 25 years, but I'm going somewhere. But my point is how bold we can say when it comes to the natural, the secular job, how loyal, how dependable, how trustworthy we can be. But when it comes to the things of God, we seem like, you heard what I said, we seem like it's not important. Because the Bible say if a man don't work, he don't eat, so I need to go to work. But the Bible also say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the man of some is. So the Bible also say we need to be loyal to when it comes to the things of God, whether we feel like it or not. Because as our apostle teaching on the soul, Romans chapter 12, write that down, Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice Romans 12 say, and be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. And be not taking shape of this world. All right? Now I want you to think about this here. Think about an ice tray. Think about pouring some water in an ice tray. When you pour the water in the ice tray, when you put it in the freezer, what's going to happen is that water going to take shape of the tree. Excuse me, going to take shape of the tray. So when you take those cubes out, those cubes going to look like that tray. So just like those cubes could look like that tray, if we don't watch, our lifestyle will be just like the world. We'll look just like the world. We'll be shaped just like the world. We'll talk just like the world. We'll act just like the world. All right? But at the same time, but notice our apostle teaching about the soul. Be not conformed, but renewing of the mind. So the only way I won't be able to be take shape of the world, I have to renew my mind. What do I renew my mind with? With the word of God. Because the only thing that going to cause my thought life to line up with God is the word of God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So in order for my life to be shaped like God wanted to be, I got to do like Proverbs say, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my saying. Don't depart from mine eyes. Keep them in the what? The midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and what else? Health to all their flesh. So the word of God also is medicine. So I got to take it whether I want or not. Medicine, you take it. Well, sometimes we take medicine before it even was time to say take medicine. Because why? We know that if we take it, something's going to happen. That's what we think. But guess what? When it comes to the word of God, you need to take it no matter what you think is what it's going to do. Because guess what? It's doing something. It's doing something. Oh, it's doing something. Whether we realize it or not, it's doing something. Okay? All right. Let me get back to it. All right. Also think about this here. Covenant also deals with loyalty, faithfulness to a cause or ideal. Covenant also deals with loyalty. Every time I think about Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and as ye has ministered to the saints and do minister, as working in his vision, as working in his ministry, we ought to see ourselves as serving. Now see, when it comes to serving don't seem like it's not all that kosher. Because why? Because just like the Bible say, humble thyself and God will do what? Exalt you in due time. Promotion coming neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But who is the judge? God is the judge. So we want to be promoted. How many in here would want a promotion from God? Let me see your hand. All right. So in order to receive a promotion from God, we're going to have to line up to what God's word said, what God said in his word. All right. We got to line up with his word. So how do I line up with his word? I line up with his word by doing what he say according to his word. Because the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not what? Make it good. And have he spoken, will he not do it? So guess what? God is not a man. Now, man will lie to you. Man, I say man will lie. Some of y'all looking at you, don't call me, no, what you saying, I'm a lie? I know I'm not saying you're a lie, but I tell you what, you will lie at that time. Because guess what, if you tell your kids I'm going to do something and you don't do it, you done told a lie. Or no, that ain't nothing but a feel. No, that's a lie. Because why, you didn't tell the truth. So the only person that going to tell the truth all the time is God. Because why? God is not a man. Man will lie. Not God. All right, okay. All right. Covenant also is a declaration of an oath. Think about, Think about an oath. Think about if you're in the courtroom. The judge said, "Do you want by telling the truth? Nothing but the truth shall help you, God." Now, you got two people. And remember I say a covenant is deal with two people, two or three people. Now, you got two people in the courtroom. One say he didn't do it, or the other say she didn't do it, or whatever. And then one of them say, one, I ain't doing it. The other say, you did do it. So that means somebody lying. So that's why I just told somebody, that's why I'm being a lie. You're under oath and you're still lying. You're under oath and you're still not telling the truth. So that's the reason why I say, man, we're a lie. Okay, all right, okay, all right. Because some of y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Like, oh, don't you call me no lie. No, I ain't calling you no lie. I'm just saying that if you don't tell the truth, you're lying. All right, okay. All right. Also, covenant is verbal. Covenant is what is verbal. When you think about verbal, that means you got to say something. I remember 28 years ago when I was working in the school system, I made a verbal confession. And that confession, when I made that verbal confession 28 years ago when I was working in the school system, I said at that time that Pastor Thompson was going to always be my pastor. See, I already said it. I said it. Because guess what? In order for you to be a husband and a wife, you had to make a verbal commitment, say, I do. You might have regret by you saying I do, but you did say it. You did say it. And I know some of you all probably say, I wish I would take it back, but it's too late. It's too late. But you made a verbal confession by saying, I do. So I made a verbal confession 28 years ago saying that Pastor Thompson was going to always be my pastor. But guess what? The same way when you made that verbal confession that about husband and wife, everything didn't go right all the time. You got mad with her. She got mad with you. The same thing when it comes to ministry. You ain't going to understand everything that go in ministry. But guess what? Just like I said in the new members class this Sunday, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. See, a lot of times, think about when you was in Head Start or kindergarten. When you first started, you was excited by going to school. Because why? You ain't know none of the teachers. You don't know nothing about the school. A lot of things are new to you, so why? You was excited. You want to wear them new clothes, them new tennis shoes. You was glad that first morning. Mama ain't even had to wake you up to go to school. 2 months later, now you're talking about you're sick, but now you want to play hooky. When you first join this ministry, the first thing you say, oh, Pastor Thompson is my pastor, the mighty man of God, the mighty man of valor. Here now, 2 months later, you want to play hooky from the church. You don't, I'm sick. I don't want to go to church. But at the same time, you don't go to school. Guess what will happen? They're going to call home and ask why you're not at school. But guess what?
Brother John don't mind me and him going to prison. But Brother John called your house, you go wonder, why he calling my house for?
Well, why you didn't say when you missed that day's work and you had to go call, well, why you didn't say, well, boss, I had to call, but at the same time, well, what's wrong with you calling somebody checking up on you? Let me ask a question. How many of you all, don't raise your hand, how many of you all, when it's time to go to work, and you miss work and you don't call in, you might get by one day. You know the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, so it might be, you might get by about one time. Try two times, say, I'm going to be cheeky again this morning. I ain't going to call. You come, you ain't gonna have no job next time it's time to come back. But when it comes to ministry, guess what? We cheeky. I want to use that word because apostles use that word too. Cheeky. You know what cheeky means. Cheeky. Yeah. We won't be cheeky. Well, I wonder why they calling my house for. I wonder what they want with me. It's not so much checking up on you. Why? The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad. Because why? We love you. Guess what? At the same time, that job don't love you. Because guess what? Guess what? When you, after a while, they're going to replace you with somebody else. I'm going to be going in and out. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be going in and out. That's the way the Holy Ghost here. You say, where you get all that from? I get it from watching my apostle. Yeah. You all, that's it. I'll be paying attention. I'll be watching. Come on, sir. All right, let me make the statement also, too. It is governed to my covenant. Now, look over to your left. When we think about covenant, we think about covenant. We look at right here, right above my head, the first thing. Changing what? The lives of people with the word of God. This is what this ministry is about. Right. Acts 6 and 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. This is what God gave our man of God years ago. Amen. Brother Larry had said on Sunday about calling, when God gave him told him, and I was there 28 years ago, when he said that people would come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God will put, they will put gas in it and be glad to drive. That's what's happening right now. Right. See, but at the same time, but guess what? That's a part of the vision. That's a part of what? Changing lives of people with the word of God. See, and after our lives be changed with the word of God, then they say the home, look over here, the home of covenant. That go that word covenant, of covenant winners. See, God wants us to win in life. Right. See, sometimes it might seem like you're not winning. That's why the Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, is subject to change. So anything that seems like it's not going right in your life is subject to change. It's subject to change. It's temporary. Temporary meaning it's not permanent. Look what it says. Then also say, look at equipping. The body of Christ. How many of you all is part of the body of Christ? So by being part of the body of Christ, you are part of this vision. Equipping the body of Christ to do what?
Evangelize.
To do what?
Evangelize.
I can't hear you.
Evangelize.
To do what?
The world.
To evangelize the world. So guess what? That means that we need to get from out of these four walls and guess what? And start ministering the word of God, evangelizing the world. Look, I think that been about 2 years ago. I was cleaning the foyer, and I was on my knee. I was wiping the foyer floor, and right on the foyer floor, they got one right there, and they got one right there. A fire extinguisher. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost told me, said, "Now we know in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, fire, fire. And the Holy Ghost told me, say, either you're going to be the extinguisher or you're going to be fire. So guess what? The extinguisher job is, thank God for that extinguisher. But the only thing that extinguisher going to do is sit on that wall and wait for a fire to get started. To do what? To put it out. So guess what? You don't want to be the extinguisher to try to put somebody fire out. You don't want nobody to even put yours out. Because guess what? Just like you got people that is fired up for God, you got people that is not fired up, and guess what they are? They are an extinguisher. They want to put your fire out. You mean to tell me I'm fired up for God? Yeah, one time you was fired up for God. Revelation said that you left your first love. Because guess what? When you got born again, guess what you did? You told everybody about Jesus. You was just like that woman in the fourth chapter of John. You start telling all your friends, all the ones you hang with, about Jesus. What happened? You left your first love. You know what? Guess what caused you to leave your first love? What happened there? You got caught up with this world. You got caught up with thinking about the things of the world. You're not praying like we're not praying like we used to. In the book of Acts, apostle teaching on about the apostolic anointing. In order for the walk in the apostolic, we got to pray. Oh, yeah. The Bible says a man ought to always pray and not faint. Because why? In life, if we don't pray, we're going to faint. We're going to give up. We're going to quit. And guess what? Whether we quit or not, our apostle is going to keep going. He is just like the energizing bunny. He's going to keep going on and on and on and on and on. And guess what? He's going to keep going whether we go or not. So I made my mind, as he go, I'm going with him. Paul said, follow him as he follow Christ. So as long as he follow Christ, I'm following him. So wherever he go, I'm going. I say, wherever he go, I'm going. You don't have to say it. I know I'm saying it. Because if you ain't saying it, that means you don't want to go. And if you ain't saying it, you don't want to go, and what's going to happen is you're going to get left behind. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We can't depend on a younger generation. On a younger generation. What you mean to about what the young kids ought to be doing? No, it ain't what the young kids ought to be doing. It's what you ought to be doing. It's what I need to be doing. See what it is. Oh, Lord, help us. See what it is. When it comes to sometimes want to do what God wants us to do here, we always want to put it on somebody else to do it. Isaiah said, Lord, use me. Send me, I go. See, we're always praying for revival. Guess what? Each one of you all is the revival. You can start a revival everywhere you go. Anywhere you go, you can start a revival. I was in a bank a couple months ago. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going that way too. I was in a bank a couple months ago. And I was right. See, I had the God can't fail bracelet. You think these God can't fail bracelets for them kids? No, it ain't for them kids. Get your God can't fail bracelet. Just like Apostle said, money coming is going to be here until Jesus comes. God can't fail, going to be the same way. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Don't be ashamed to have no God can't fail bracelet on. You ain't too ashamed to have Adidas. I got some Adidas. I got some Air Jordan. And you can't jump that high, but you got some Air Jordan on. Oh yeah. Also too, I mentioned about evangelism. That's something. I just love it. Some of you all. Oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Some of you all. Oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Do I want to go there? So I wouldn't ask nobody. Over half of you all. Oh, I got a call on my life. Brother Larry told him, I got a call on my life. What you doing with that call on your life? That call on your life is not for get up here. God called our apostle to be a visionary, to do what's going on here. No, your calling is wherever you work. That's your pulpit. That's your pulpit. Yes, Monday, I was on my way to work, and when I got to this gate right here, the gate was locked. So when I pulled up, they had Acadian Waste, the guy that dumped the dumpster. So he waiting at the gate because the gate was locked. So I pulled up. So I got in my truck, and I walk up to him. So he had his back turned while he was sitting in the truck. So he looked at me and he said, oh, you scared me because he had his back turned. So I know some of y'all, I'm going to say it, that's all right. You can get hot. Oh, Lord, how much. All right, but what happened, not what happened, but I'm saying that. So when I looked at him, I had my Dallas Cowboy hat on. I had my Dallas Cowboy sweatshirt on. So when I had my, so he looked at me, and so I told him, I said, I asked him, was he born again? He said, he was saved, he was born again. So I asked him, I said, you know about being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues? He said, yeah, he said, I know about it. But the reason why he kept talking to me, he was a Cowboy fan. See, let me tell you one thing. The Bible said in Proverbs 11 and 30, he that winneth souls is wise. So the reason why some of y'all, you know, oh, Lord, I won't go that route either. I won't go that route. But what I'm doing, I'm just teaching on evangelism. I told you I was going to be going in and out. So he was a Cowboy fan. So I asked him about inviting him to come to church. That was Monday. And he said, I thought, look how the Holy Ghost had been working on. When he came last week, Brother Bernard was out there doing something out the front yard. And he said, oh, I seen you outside. I know what he meant, because Brother Bernard had Cowboy stuff on too, so he thought that was me. So I know I work on the inside, Brother Bernard work on the outside. So, but my point is, the reason why the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise, it's not because I wear what I wear in order to try to sell things for the Dallas Cowboys or whatever. No, it's a bait.
Yes, yes.
Because why? Right now, the Dallas Cowboys is the hottest thing that's going on. The hottest, So that means a lot of fishes. You can get some of y'all can look like you sucking lemon now. That's okay. But a lot of certain fish gonna eat certain baits. So at the same time, what I'm doing is I'm fishing. That's what I'm doing. Oh yeah, I'm fishing. Oh yeah. See, if I'd had another team shirt on, I wouldn't have caught that guy. See, I wouldn't see certain baits. See, because one thing about it, I know either you're gonna love the Cowboys or you're gonna hate them. So I know. So what it is, I got this bait. That's a bait I got. See, so at the same time, what it is, evangelism. See. And see, what God going to do, that's strategies, mobilizing. See, the Bible said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for labors into his harvest. Into who harvest? Into his harvest. See, and at the same time, as you start, see, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. When you start taking care of the Father's business, the Father's going to start taking care of your business. How many here want God to take care of some of their business? Oh, yeah, when you start doing God's business, God's going to start taking care of your business. And guess what? That's right there. Right there, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. Not coming up here thinking, get out of four walls. See, at the same time, the Bible says a prophet not honor in his hometown. See, because guess what? Don't depend on these people in the neighborhood. But guess what? God wants you to go wherever you are. Because guess what? Some of you all stay way out. So guess what? God wants you to go out there where they are. Okay? All right. Everybody say accountable. All right? Accountable is being firmly attached to something or what? Or someone. Accountable is being firmly attached. Attached. Think about Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abided in me, and I in him. And then he said about the fruits. See, Jesus said, I am the vine. So in order to receive fruits in your life, guess what? You're going to have to be attached to what? To the vine. In order for to receive the benefits of this ministry, you're going to have to be attached to this vision. You're going to have to be, you're going to have to hold hands with this ministry. Whatever, when the apostle said that something needs to be done, guess what? We ought to say, Lord, I'll do it. But see, at the same time, when we think of it, we're doing it for a man. Because why? That's what the world wants you to think. Oh, yeah, you going to that church, you're just following behind a man. But at the same time, they're on that job following behind a man, following behind a woman. But they're going to tell you, you're following behind a man. No, I'm not following a man. I'm following Christ. I'm following a man as he followed Christ. But see what it is? We let people dictate to us whether how we're going to serve God. We let our relative dictate to us how we serve God. Jesus said, think not that I came to send peace on earth, but I came to send a sword. So guess what? It's going to be some separation with your mama. It's going to be separation with your daddy. It's going to be separation with your brother. It's going to be separation with your sister. The reason why I'm saying it's going to be separation, because why? The word of God is going to separate them. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God going to cut you from your mom. The word of God going to cut you from your brother if they don't want to line up with the word of God. I refuse to let somebody dictate to me what I'm going to do, how I'm going with the things of God. These holiday seasons are coming around Christmas. I gotta go visit my relative. You ain't gotta go on Christmas Day. Go the next day. Because why? You go on Christmas Day, your brothers and sisters, they ready to bushwhack you. They're ready to jump you because they know you coming. So you ain't gotta go and let them. You go when you wanna go. I remember a couple of years ago, my wife, mother, kind of like foster brother. The doctor sent him home for the because they gave up on him, said he was gonna die. So they sent him home, and when they sent him home, all the relatives gonna have a party and gonna have all that to for him have give him a party. My wife asked me, said, "As long as you're going," I said, "No, I'm not going. I stayed home and watched Bonanza." Somebody said, "Oh, that's cold." Guess what? I'd rather watch Bonanza and let that be cold, because guess what? You go around these ungodly people and they don't want you to be around them. That's cold. Now, somebody might say, oh, I ain't going to leave you hanging, just think I watched Bonanza. But guess what? When I got up the next morning, the Holy Ghost told me, when you come from church, I want you to go to his house. So when I went to his house, none of the relatives wasn't there. So when I went there, guess what? When I rang the doorbell and asked for him, he was the only one there. I went in the back. He got born again. Ain't nothing like one-on-one witness. Ain't nothing like Romans 8:4-14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You let God lead you where to go. You don't let people dictate to you where you need to go. Let God dictate to you where you need to go. All right. It will quicken, talking about covenant, it will quicken the relationship until it bears fruit of its purpose. It's going to bear fruits. That's what covenant is about. It's about bearing fruit. God said in Genesis, told, be fruitful and multiply. God is fruitful. God all about multiplying. All right. Your hearts feel the intensity of the frequency and are aligned almost instantly. All right. Watch this statement here. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. It's not selfish. See, it's not being self-centered. It's not what can I get out of it. Because if I can't get nothing out of it, I don't want to be involved in it. Why? This ministry is not all about you. This ministry is not all about me. Because guess what? Before you came here, this ministry was here. And guess what? This ministry is going to be here whether we be here or not. But guess what? I chose to be here. I'm like Elisha. Elisha said, as long as the Lord liveth and as our soul liveth, I will not leave you. So I'm saying, as far as our man of God, as long as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave my apostle. I will not leave this ministry. Because why can I say that? Because guess what? Apostle didn't call me to this ministry. God called me to it. And the only person who could tell me to leave is God. And if God don't tell me to leave, I'm not going nowhere. If you was at a game and somebody was sitting in your seat, what you do? You're going to say, oh, just sit in my seat. I'll go sit somewhere else. No, you're going to say, get out of my seat. So guess what? That seat you got in, you sitting in, guess what? You need to make sure and say, well, look, that's my seat. No, I'm not just to my, oh, yeah, you got a certain seat. But if you get here early enough, it's just like you got a certain seat. Because I used to usher for 18 years. And you got some people that come when they want to come and then and want the usher to pull them. I'll put you on the back row. You sit up there and won't lay down in the bed all morning. Now you won't get up to the front. I'm going to sit you in the back. Oh, yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take my time because I know Calvin going to put me to the front. All right. Covenant needs two parties in total commitment to walk together. Two parties. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? That's why the enemy always want to try to attack when it comes to husband and wife. Because why? We talk about the dream team. Guess what? Ain't no team no powerful than a husband and wife. Because why? The scripture said if two of you shall agree on earth, as long as a husband and wife in agreement, anything could happen. And the enemy know it. That's why he want to get you to arguing over old foolish stuff. And see the reason why it seemed like he's successful doing it at times because you've been around each other so much. Some of y'all done got quiet up there. You know what I'm talking about. And you begin to look like each other. You know, you done studied each other move. But when you first got married, you ain't know nothing about each other. That's why you put up, don't worry about it. I'll do this. Don't worry about it. Then all of a sudden, now you get to knowing each other a while. Now you go get it yourself now. I see, I ain't the only one. All right, covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. The spirit of sacrifice. So guess what? When it comes to this vision, when it comes to this ministry, when it comes, you're gonna have to sacrifice. You're gonna have to sacrifice. See, All right. Philemon chapter one, Philemon chapter 1, Paul said that he was a prisoner for Jesus Christ. See, when we think about, I'm not going to call myself no prisoner. But guess what? When it comes to a prisoner just don't do what he want to do. It's certain things. He got to go to bed at a certain time. He got rules and guidelines. He just don't do anything he want to do. See, what it is, when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we need to see ourselves as prisoners. I don't do what I want to do. Because, see, when you got the attitude, I do what I want to do, it's just like the world. I go when I want to go. I go on just Christmas. I go just when I feel like it. But, see, when we use the word that we're a prisoner, oh, the Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Yeah, you got liberty. But at the same time, when it comes to the things of God, we need to be like a prisoner. When God say, no, don't go there. I want you to do this here. When the Holy Spirit check and say, don't go to your mama today. Don't go here. Go. Oh, Lord. When the Holy Ghost tell you, go to church or go pray on Monday. Your flesh ain't going to tell you to go pray on Monday. Anybody gonna tell you what to look at on Sunday, man? On Sunday when football time, football season. But the pastor got to come up, got to tell us when we need to do it. Ain't nobody should have to tell us all the time what we need to do. You already know what to do. We already know what we need to do. Prayer ain't for him. He's praying whether you pray or not. It's for me, it's for him, it's for you. The Bible said in Jude 1 and 20, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. A lot of things, what is happening here, he's not telling us to do it for him. He's telling us to do it for ourselves. Some of you all, you got brothers and sisters, your mom and daddy got to tell them something over and over and stop and stop and over and over. But they might tell you two times and you don't do it no more. Some people are just hard-headed. When it comes to the things of God, God just got some knucklehead, hard-headed children sometimes. They don't want to listen. And then, oh, Lord. And then, yeah, I'm going back to sometimes you don't want to listen. I know some of you all didn't watch Popeye when you was coming up. Some of you probably still watch Popeye. Popeye might be more better to watch than some of that other junk they got on TV. But my point is, by watching Popeye, Bluto is like the devil. Bluto is like, he like the devil. But see, olive oil. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So olive oil is double-minded. One day she won't Popeye. Another day she won't Bluto. But at the same time, she know what Bluto all about though. Bluto don't want but one thing. But when Bluto done got in the corner, the first thing she want to do is she want to holler Popeye. The same thing when it comes to God. Here it is, you on the devil's turf, but now all of a sudden now when things are, you want to talk about, help me Jesus, help me God, oh help me Holy Spirit. If you wouldn't mess with Bluto, you wouldn't have to be hollering for Popeye. If you wouldn't be messing with the devil's toy, you wouldn't be hollering about Jesus. But at the same time, Popeye already know that olive oil go holler for him. But Popeye still. going to come at Oliver beckon. The Holy Ghost know that even though that you hanging out with the devil, he still know that that you going to call on him. And guess what? He going to come. So now when we now when you're doing something that you ain't got no business, just know you're hanging out with Bluto. All right. You see, I'm still keep looking at that clock, huh? All right. There are rules of engagement, both express and progressive, that are established on the journey toward fulfill it. So guess what? At the same time, ministry is like a journey. You know? It's not, you know, like I said, it's not how you start. You know, Paul said about finishing the course, and he kept the faith. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. Yeah. See? And God, see, think about your kid in school and they're in the 11th grade and they just stop, they just drop out. One more year, they finish and they're talking about, oh, but I went all the way to the 11th grade. But you didn't finish. See, it's nothing like a person running a race that finished to go across the finish line. It's nothing like when you broke the plane and finished. See, one thing about it, when you finish, that's where it seemed like that's where you done got into victory. See, God wants you to finish whatever you start. And one thing about it, when it comes to this ministry, you're not finished until you leave here. You're not never finished. See, and at the same time, don't never think that you're mature enough where nobody can't, correct you or something. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastised. Oh, yeah, you will be corrected that time. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, the Bible's talking about our parents corrected us. We gave them respect. So guess what? We will be corrected. But at the same time, how are you going to handle it? Oh, I'm going somewhere else because that was said. No, uh-uh. Like I said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth. Because why? This is a connection. I'm connected to this ministry. I'm not letting nobody. Because oh, Lord, it's not somebody that's not saved will try to pull you from the vision. It's those disgruntled Christians. Someone that not satisfied. Now they're trying to get you to go along with them because they don't want to make it seem like they by themselves to be making a decision that wasn't kosher to the Holy Ghost. So now they need somebody else to go along with them. But know what I'm going to tell them? Or somebody come to me, hit the road, Jack, and never come back no more. I know some of y'all around my age, so y'all young kids, y'all probably won't know that, but some of y'all know, hit the road. All right, let me make the statement here. We follow Word of Life Christian Center wholeheartedly. I want you all to say that. Say this. I follow the Word of Life Christian Center wholeheartedly. Notice, like I said, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the vision that God gave our man of God. And just like Brother Larry said Sunday, is God assigned us, God called us to help our man of God to fulfill the vision God gave him. The Bible said about if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, Who shall give? See, we always thinking about it. I'm not, now when I make this statement, I'm not talking about none of you all. I'm not talking about none of you all, because most of you all are faithful. All right? But I'm just making a statement. But I'm making a statement. A lot of time we think about ourselves. We thinking about what we want to do in someone else's vision. Think about this here. Think about if God gave you a vision like God gave to our apostle. We'll be talking to people. God, come to my service. You remember what I said? My service. But how many of them say, how many of us would say, come to Word of Life Christian Center service? See, invite them to our church instead of my church. Because why? If it's mine, because it's all about me. Because it's not me, it's all about someone else. But see, think about ministry and think about always some. See, think about Jesus. Jesus said that he didn't came to be served, but he came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. If anybody that we can imitate when it comes to serving, Jesus washed the disciples' foot. See, when it comes to ministry, don't think about yourself being, the Bible says don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't think that you're big to do something that you think so little. It ain't all about you. God ain't no little God. But guess what? I'm too big to do it, but guess what? Somebody else too small to do it. Get them to do it. But at the same time with that attitude, God will not promote you with that attitude. Why? Because you got too much self in you. God gonna have to gut you just like he gut a fish. You got to get all that junk out of you. Now, just like Paul, when he was on his way to Damascus, God knocked him off that horse. So guess what? God gonna have to knock you off your horse to get that junk out of you. Ain't all about me. Ain't all about you. It's all about the vision that God have given our man of God for us to help him fulfill the vision God gave him. Think about these football games. Think about after football game. Think about how many people got to clean that place up. But at the same time, we just look at only. Think about this here. When we think about these jerseys that these football players have on, them clean jerseys. But guess what? Somebody had to wash it. But at the same time, we don't want to wash it. But at the same time, we want to wear it. Oh, I want to minister. I want God to use me. But guess what? Use your gift to go into prison or somewhere. Not to stand behind here. Because, oh, Lord, have mercy. Because most of the time, guess what? Them the one God, no, God. No, oh, Lord, have mercy. Notice when it came to David. Here David tending to the sheep. Here God told Samuel to go anoint one of Jesse's sons. Here, Jesse brought all those sons before Samuel, but at the same time, he didn't thought more likely at the one that was tending to the sheep. Why? Because he figured that, guess what? God wasn't going to use him because why? I got one tending to the sheep. Samuel didn't ask him about what he was doing. Because why? He thought David was doing something little. When it comes to the things of God, ain't nothing never too little for you to do for God. Who you think you is, think you too big to do something for God, and God tell you to do it. Whatsoever he say unto you, you do it. But what it is, we got to get rid of that pride. The Bible says pride come, you got to get rid of that pride. I remember 10 years ago, an apostle called me in the office and he said, Ladue, he said, I want to hire you for to clean this church up. What you want me to say? Oh, I ain't clean no church up. No. I don't want nobody to see me clean no church up. I care less who see me cleaning up.
Because guess what? You're going to go out there on that job with them doggone jeans and them short pants on, and you're going to get right, and you're going to do something that. Because why? You ain't concerned about who watching you that. But when it comes to church, I don't want to see my church, fellow church members see me what I'm doing. God can't use that, because guess what? In order for God, we to get receive the money that God, we got to get rid of this pride. We got to get rid of tomorrow of what we want to do. Ain't all about you. Suppose God tell you to do something for somebody that you don't want to do nothing. Suppose when that guy came from Acadian Waste and was out there driving a garbage truck, and I say, well, I ain't witness to nobody on a garbage truck. Ain't about nobody driving on no garbage truck. No, God will use somebody, I don't care who they are, and rise them up. I don't care if you're a ditch digger. The Bible says God chose the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. God won't confound people to let them know that I can use a janitor. I can use a ditch digger. I can use somebody whoever want to be used by me. Because why? It's by me being willing and obedient, I'm going to eat the good of the land. All right, let me make this statement here. We are connected together in destiny with the Apostle and Word of Life Christian Center. It's a connection. I'm not letting them disconnect me. I'm not letting my ears be a slop bucket. I don't want to hear no mess. I'm not going to let you talk about my brother and sister in Christ. I don't want to hear about that. When you see a lot of crime, it's one race killing each other. And when it comes to the things of God, Christians just hurting each other. And the world go take care of their wounded. You think about those three sons. Here, Noah drunk. Here, one of the sons, he going to go tell the other one, oh, daddy drunk. But the other two covering. Yeah. So when somebody come tell you about one of your brothers, you covering. Covering with your mouth and tell him I ain't saying what you want me to say. Don't uncover. All right. Oh, yeah, let me make this statement. We partake of the same grace. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We partake the same grace, of the Apostle and the Word of Life Christian Center. We partake the same grace. I mean, you think about our Apostle. You know that about the Midas touch. Everything he touched, see, everything turned to gold. Look like, you know. You know what I'm talking about. That's the grace of God on his life. And guess what? That grace that we partake of that grace. That grace of favor. Doing something out of the ordinary for you. Somebody tell you, you ain't gonna never get this. And all of a sudden, in God. As I get ready to close, and God, I remember my landlord told me, you'll never get a house. I told her what God would do. She laughed at me. Let me tell you one thing. When God say he's going to do something in your life and people get to laughing, guess what? That was God. That was God. When Jesus told that girl about that she not sleep, that she not dead but sleep, they laugh and scorn. But at the same time, that girl got up. So guess what? When somebody laugh at God told you to do something, God did say that. And guess what? God gonna make it come to pass. She laughed at me and said, yeah, you ain't gonna never get a house. I said, yeah, but watch. I said, yeah, but God. My wife said, Lawrence, who you talking to? I was talking to the landlord. But guess what? Guess what? She was the landlord, but guess what? Jesus the Lord. And to say, oh yeah, Jesus the Lord. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And I'm getting ready to close. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.